morning. Welcome as we open the Word this morning in our summer series, You Asked For It. Welcome to all those who are watching online and joining us that way this morning. So this series is all questions we ask you to turn in, except for this morning, I'm going to do a question because I think this comes up often. And the more I thought of it, the more we don't, and this just happens, if we don't purposefully go back and help all of us understand why we do things, okay? We just don't do things like baptisms because, man, that's a great idea. You ought to go get in a pool and just dunk people. I mean, that's just a great idea. If we don't go and connect that to why we do it based on Scripture, then what happens is really good practices that were put into practice long ago by people following Jesus just end up as rituals and traditions, and we're like, I don't know why I do that. I don't know why we do this thing called communion. I don't know, just once a month, it comes around, I go get it. I don't know. I want you to make sure you know that you know why we do the things that we do, that they're not just rituals, they're not just traditions, they're actually anchored in Scripture. That's why we do them. Okay, we don't just do them because everybody else does them, or some people do and some don't. We do them because Scripture talks about it. And so I want to do that today when it comes to the subject of baptism. Why do we do what we do? Why are we going to gather tonight? Okay, and if you'd like to get baptized, you can still do that. You just let me know, let Pastor Ryan know after the service today before we gather tonight at the pool and come and join us. We're going to have a great time. It's a great time to connect and great time to meet people and talk to one another as your kids are swimming, and we're going to have a great time. We're going to start off baptism. Why do we do this thing called baptism? So I'm just going to walk through and try to answer some questions this morning and tell you scripturally how we look at this whole idea called baptism. So why be baptized? Why should I even do this thing called baptism? First, I would say is because Jesus set the example, and I follow Jesus. That's what we're trying to make you understand. What we are doing is following Jesus. Jesus saves us. He rescues us. He redeems us. We then follow him. He then becomes our Lord. And that is a position in our lives where he is the boss, master, commander, and we give him our lives. What do you want me to do? How do I follow you? What do I do in all these different aspects? So because we follow him, Jesus actually says, example. You read about this in Matthew chapter 3, that Jesus is baptized. He's baptized by his cousin, whose name is John the Baptist, is what we call him. Really, it's John the Baptizer. They called him that because he was baptizing. He had a specific message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He knows who Jesus is. So you just need to imagine when Jesus comes to the shore that day, okay, of the Jordan River, and John sees him, he doesn't probably think Jesus is there to get baptized. No, this is the Lamb. This is the guy. This is the one who's going to save us, who's going to redeem us. And then they begin this conversation with Jesus like, yep, I'm getting baptized. You're what? No. And so all we know about discussion is that Matthew records that Jesus says this, and John goes, okay. He says this, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize. In other words, I'm going to set the example, John. John, this is all about example. I am identifying with the message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That is the message I am going to proclaim. I'm going to carry it right off from you. I'm going to die, save the world, rise again for their salvation. We're going to set an example here of what's going to happen. So Jesus does it. We follow Jesus. So guess what? We are identifying with Jesus. Peter said, he is your example and you must follow in his steps. Jesus is many things. And you should have all of them in your life. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our example. All of those are really important for us to begin to build into our lives. Jesus commissioned baptism. He told people to go and baptize. There it is. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So baptism tonight, what do we baptize in? The name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We do what Jesus commissioned and said, this is what I want you to do. as you are going and helping people follow me, helping them be my disciples, making them wherever you go. Go gets kind of confusing sometimes, and we think, oh, I got to go somewhere. Where do I got to go? Do I got to go to a foreign nation? Really? No. Just think of it wherever you are, wherever you happen to be. For the disciples, they would scatter out all over the place. So they did go, and then they made disciples and baptized. Wherever you happen to be, wherever you happen to be, wherever you happen to be going, wherever God has put you in this moment in your life, as you are helping people to follow Jesus, help them get baptized. Help them take that next step, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So that's a good why. When? When should I be baptized? Well, when should that happen? Okay, first, when I have confessed and repented of my sins. Sometimes there are traditions out there that do it at different times. I'm telling you what Scripture teaches us. We do it when we have confessed and repented of our sins. How do we know that? That's what happened in Acts chapter 2. The first day of the church, Peter tells them what? Because they're all going, what do we do, Peter? I mean, your message with the Holy Spirit's truly convicting us. What do we do? Yes, we're the one who rejected Jesus. Yes, we're the one who didn't follow that message. Yes, we're the ones. So what do we do? And he says what? Each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized. Be baptized. That'd be a good thing for you. Identify with the message of Jesus and identify that he is your Savior. Acts chapter 2. As soon, and sorry, that's as far as that got. Yeah, I guess it was a long week at camp, okay? As soon after that you would like to. There is no, like you got 5 days, go, okay? There is no timetable. But here in Acts chapter 8, this is a man that's just identified as a member of a royal group, royal commission, the Ethiopian eunuch, which means he is in a position serving probably the royalty in Ethiopian, and he is in Jerusalem, and he's learning about Jesus, and he is reading a scroll, which means, man, he's got access to stuff that a lot of people didn't have in his days, and he's reading Isaiah 53, wondering who it is. Philip stops, and Philip tells him who it is. Amazing story, you ought to read it. And so he comes to know Jesus on that ride, and he stops and he says, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? Man, that's pretty quick, okay? That's pretty quick. And it's not that there's any timetable. I've told you the story quite often that my grandmother led me to Christ when I was 6 years old. I did not get baptized at 6, 7, 8. Now, I'm going to stop the story there because I was 18 years old. Okay? So there is no timetable. There is no, oh, gosh, you know, I only got so much time. No. You might be sitting here this morning and you made a decision to follow Jesus years ago. But you've never been baptized. And you'd like to do that. Why? Because you're following Jesus. So there is no timetable. Don't put any timetable on it. They got to do it quickly, or it's too far gone, and I've been a Christian too long. Don't get caught up in that. Sometimes we get caught up in those timetable things that just can at times trip us up. So don't let that happen to you. As soon as you can, as soon as you're ready to, as soon as you want to continue to follow Jesus. What should baptism mean to me? What should it mean? What should it mean? What significance should it hold in my life? Well, number one, it's a step of faith. When we talk about following Jesus, it is all about faith. You are saved by faith, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. Faith is believing that God is who he says he is and that he will do everything he says that he will do. So I am trusting Jesus, and I'm trusting him in this next step of identifying with him, as we're going to look at in a moment. This identity that Paul talks about that we have in going through this thing called baptism. But you are saved by faith. I want you to make sure you understand that. This is not about getting into heaven because you got baptized. This is not about, I'm not sure if I'm good enough. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Maybe I'll just get baptized and cover all my bases. Please do not do that. That's just not how Scripture talks about it. Scripture says this is a step of faith. You're following Jesus, and that this is a step in following Jesus. And this is a step of faith. This is also a step of obedience. If Jesus is going to commission it and ask people to do this and ask his followers, hey, when you're helping other people, decide to come and follow me. Help them get baptized. And I think part of it is because it's a good, solid reminder. It's one of those milestones in our life that say, I came to know Christ, and I prayed and I repented of my sins, and I was baptized. And there needs to be moments that help us just build a secure foundation in our faith. So step obedience. If you love me, obey my commandments. Jesus was really clear on this. If you love me, obey my commandments. It's also a step of commitment. Okay? If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. That is identifying with the way of Jesus, a step of commitment. Step of, I'm in. I'm in, because now it's just not, and we'll talk about this in a moment, my personal decision. Now I'm making a commitment in front of a lot of other people that says, I'm following Jesus. I am committed to him. I am committed to his way. I'm committed to what he teaches. I'm committed to following him. Those steps of commitment are really important, because again, they're just going to solidify and help us be solid in our faith. It is a public testimony. It is a public testimony. Now, a lot of you know my story because I'm up here and I talk about it, and I talk about my story. Sometimes we don't know each other's stories. So in baptism, when we gather to do that, you are declaring that Jesus is my Savior, and now I'm going to be baptized. So it's a public testimony that you've decided to follow Jesus. You've repented of your sins. You've confessed him. You have made him Savior, and now you are following him. It's an outward display of an inward decision. It's an outward display of an inward decision. Now, Scripture's full of, there ought to be fruit in your life. There ought to be things that make it evident. But one of the things that happens is baptism, and the people standing around cheering for you, praying for you. You've made a commitment now. You're part of that. And you've made a public testimony that I'm in. I'm in to following Jesus. Now, watch this from Galatians. Watch how Paul puts this. And all of you who have been united with Christ in baptism have done what? Have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. That's what you've done. I like this picture he gives us. The picture he gives us is like putting on new clothes. The old clothes are bad and dirty and smelly, and you're going to put on Christ when you have been united with him in baptism. Then right after that, he makes this statement that we've read before. That's really important to understand. Therefore, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are one in Christ Jesus. All the things you'd like to do to separate. Wait a minute, but you've been united in Christ. You've put on baptism like new clothes. You are a part of Jesus, and you are following him. Man, how important is that? And he says, all those other designations that you think matter with Jesus, what does Jesus care? You're following him, you've repented, and now you have taken the step to be baptized and are again, walking in obedience, following him. Now, some important reminders. I know I worked through some of these questions really quick. I want to make sure you all have this foundation. You all know why we're doing what we're doing. You all know why this is happening tonight. You know why we are doing this. Why this is taking place. Here's a reminder. Baptism doesn't change you. Jesus changes you. So I here's what I don't want you to, oh man, I just need to get baptized and I'll change everything. I'll get this certificate and this will change. Jesus changes us. I think sometimes we look for the things that Jesus can give us. And I also think we look for things that, maybe I'll just do this. This will make the difference. And I do this. And we don't just submit our lives to Jesus. It's really not that hard. It's being his word and just doing what Jesus tells us to do. That's what it looks like to submit to Jesus. That means he gets to tell me what my word should be. So you can read Ephesians chapter 4. It tells us what our word should be. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Only what is helpful for building others up. Well, that means I can't just say whatever I want to say if I'm going to submit to Jesus and let him change me. That's why Jesus changes our words. And the Holy Spirit challenges us. Wait a minute, should that really come out of your mouth? Who'd that build up? Nobody. Nobody. That didn't build up anybody. And so you repent of that. And okay, next time it's going to be different. Jesus changes us. So this is all about that. I don't want you to do this because you've built it up as this is going to be the highlight of my life and I'm going to be baptized and it's going to change everything. Let Jesus change you. That this is just another step in Jesus changing you. You're following Jesus. He is your Lord. He is your Savior. Baptism is an experience with Jesus. We talked about those last week that David had that made him just learn to trust God more, that he had these experiences with him. This is an experience with Jesus. This is an experience with Jesus. This is following what he said, obeying his commands, following along with him, and experience with Jesus. In fact, I want you to see how Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 6. Because this is the way he talks about it. It's an experience with Jesus. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may live a new life. Do you get what he's experiencing, what he's telling us? That the picture of baptism is the picture of just that. Buried in Christ, raised to new life. Buried in Christ, raised to new life. There's a reason we do what we do. And see, sometimes we just don't talk about it, and we wonder why we do the things we do. Do you understand why we do that? Buried, brought to new life. Because that's the picture Paul gives. He says, you understand this experience with Jesus. Do you remember when you were buried and brought to new life? And then you began this was all about remembering that you started a new life. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Sometimes we just need symbols and pictures to help us remember that. We just need them. And this is one of them that's an experience with Jesus, because we might be struggling to understand how do all these things fit together, how does all these pieces fit for us, and I'm looking for a way to make them fit. And what if it's as simple as Jesus has set experiences for us? That when we gather, and it's normally the first Sunday of the month, when we take communion together, why do we do that? We do that to do what? Paul said, every time you take the bread and the cup, you remember his death until he comes. Why do we need to remember that? Because the cross tells us so much. The cross tells us you and I couldn't be loved any more than we are. The cross tells us we're loved. The cross tells us that we can be forgiven. The cross tells us that we're never too far away. So guess what happens every month? We take the cup, we take the bread, and this goes, oh, that's right. In case you had one of those weeks where you were wondering if God could love you at all, if you're wondering if maybe the love quotient of God went down a little bit because you had a really rough, hard, difficult week, it didn't. It didn't. And holding that cup and bread might just remind you of that on a Sunday. Just might. So we have a symbol. We have a picture. We have something we do to remember that. And maybe helping us remember that who we were is different after Christ, that we're buried and raised to new life in him. Perhaps we just need that. Perhaps we need that. Perhaps God knew that we would need that, because we are forgetful people who forget his work in our life and forget that we need to be raised to new life in him. So I would just encourage you, take a next step in following Jesus. Take a next step. That's what baptism is. That's all we're talking about, is taking a next step in following Jesus. Don't build it up to it's the ultimate thing. If I just get baptized, it'll change everything. No, let Jesus change your life. Don't just cut off, well, I don't know about that. That's why I've cemented it in Scripture for you today, so you understand why we are going to do this tonight. Why are we doing this? Why are we gathering? Why? Currently, right now, we have 3 people. If it's more than that, great. If it's not, that's awesome. We have 3 people who want to take a next step, make a public testimony before those of you there, and I urge you to come. You don't have to go in the pool. You have to go anywhere near the pool, okay? You just need to know that when we plan a pool party, it's going to be the coolest it's been probably in 3 weeks, okay? That's the way it goes, okay? That is the way it goes. You cannot plan these things better than we do, okay? You can't. So I understand that. You're already going, man, it's a little chilly out there. I know. Sit in a chair, chat with one another, but be there because it means so much to the other people there to know their church family supports them and cares about them and is for them and is behind them and is praying for them, and you support this step in following you. Maybe that's you this morning. You want to think about it and you're like, gosh, I've never done that, but I've been a Christian like forever. Doesn't matter. If you'd like to take that next step following Jesus, if you like to identify being buried with him, raised to new life, then I'd encourage you, talk to Ryan or I. We'd love to be able to have you a part of this tonight. We'd love to have you a part of this and join us in this celebration of God working and moving in the hearts and lives of people. If you don't know Jesus, man, great day to know Jesus. Great day to begin following him. Great day to repent of your sins, give your life to him, and watch him turn your life around. Watch him change your life in incredible ways, because that's what Jesus is all about doing. That's what he's all about doing, is changing lives, working in lives, doing incredible and awesome and amazing things. So let's pray this morning. Think about that in your life. Remember, for those of you who have been baptized, would you just remember the day you were baptized? That you identified with Jesus in that moment, the day you accepted Christ as your Savior. Would you remember those things in this moment as I'm praying? And just thank the Lord for his work in your life and his continued work that we get to do as a church. So let's pray, and then we're going to worship the Lord one more time this morning. Heavenly Father, it never gets old. You are working in lives. It's awesome. We love to watch you at work. And we gather for baptism that's watching you at work. These are individuals who've all come to know you as their Savior. They repented of their sins. And they might have done that several years before tonight. But tonight they make a public testimony that they know you, you've saved them, if you've rescued them, you've redeemed them, and that's just an awesome thing. So, Father, I would pray that you would, for a moment, for those in the room, for those watching online, that you would remind them of the day of their baptism, because that was an experience, an encounter with you. That you would remind them of the day they met you, day they gave their life to you. Boy, those are awesome moments. You are an awesome God. And then, Father, I pray for those who are considering this next step. This next step, making a public testimony and a public confession. You're my Savior. I am identifying with you. That it would be a special moment to just pray for them and celebrate them. So, Lord, I pray, if there's anyone in this room, that they'd be willing to take a next step and follow you tonight in baptism. Father, we're going to worship you by just singing your praises. How you brought us to new life. Jesus, everything we do, we want it to point to you, to your word, to who you are. That you saved us and redeemed us and rescued us. That you died for our sins and raised for our salvation. We thank you. May the song we sing come out of a heart that is so grateful because you've saved us and rescued us and redeemed us. We ask you to continue your great work in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen.